Now here you may ask the simple question. If we're not dealing with atzvos, we're dealing with meridus, so why did he have to justify it in the beginning of the perek? The beginning of the perek, he justified it, that even though it's atzvos and it's unholy, true, you have to use the forest in order to destroy the forest. Why do you have to justify it? It's b'chal not atzvos. So the answer given for that is, the Rebbe wrote this answer, that the contemplation of a person's lowly nature will naturally, for at least a few moments, produce a sense of worthlessness, a sense of depression, a sense of atzvos, instead of frustration, depression. Indeed, the classical atzvos. But if the stock-taking was undertaken in the right spirit, this sense of depression will last for a very short while, and it will soon be replaced by meridus. Zog der Alter Rebbe, even with regard to the few brief moments of atzvos, which will initially overtake you, this should not perturb you, because this is the appropriate weapon against the Tzitrachna, fighting fire with fire. Right. In other words, when a person truly contemplates his lowliness, as he discussed in chapter 29 and 30, so immediately, prior to frustration, he will be overtaken by somewhat of a depression. If it's healthy, if it's done in the proper way, as he directs us in Tanya, that will immediately give room for a sense of meridus, which means seeking how to correct it, how to go about it, and so forth. And Alter Rebbe says, V'hinei, now le'itim tzarech la'erir b'chines gvuras hakadoshes. At times, one must arouse the holy attributes of rejection of gvura, which in this case is the sense of meridus, the sense of rejection, of frustration, kedei lahamtik hadinim, in order to sweeten stern judgments. Shehem p'chinis nefesh abahamiz v'yetzer hara, k'sheshaylet chas v'shalom ala adam, which in this context denote the animal soul and the evil inclination, whenever they dominate a man, heaven forbid. Ki ein hadinim nimtakin elu b'sharshan, for stern judgments can only be sweetened by means of their source. In Kabbalah and in Chassidus, there is a lot of discussion about this concept that all negativity in the world comes from Hashem's attribute of gevura, from Hashem's capacity for withdrawal, for concealment, for restriction. So therefore, any form of darkness in this world is in truth a degenerate form of the divine attribute of gvura, of restraint and constriction, which when it evolved and became obscured more and more, it created something which can be very dark and antithetical to divinity. So when you take judgment and darkness and you trace it back to its source, it's sweetened, it's metamorphosized. When you trace them back to their original essence, it takes on its true essence, which is divine withdrawal, divine gvura. So this is also true in this case, Alter Rebbe is saying. When a person is overtaken by psychological dinim, psychological stern judgments, which means by the darkness of the animal soul, he may rid himself from it and sweeten it by introducing meridus into his life, by introducing the holy attribute of gvura. Meridus is the embodiment, the psychological, emotional personification, embodiment of the holy attribute of rejection, remorse, frustration, sorrow, and so forth. This is the ultimate source of the concealment of the animal soul. So through introducing meridus in your life, it metamorphosizes and transforms the concealment of the animal soul, and you get rid of it. Now, this is a very fascinating concept Alter Rebbe articulates here. I'll explain more of it when we culminate the chapter, because it's only there that we can gain somewhat of an understanding to some of the depth contained in these words. So we'll still get back to this. But this is the point Alter Rebbe is making here. Zagter. Lachein Amru Razal. This is the reason why our sages have said. So the Gemara in Brachas Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Reb Levi says in the name of Rish Lakish that La'olam Yargiz Adam Yetzer HaTayv. One should always incite the good inclination to anger against the Yetzer, against the evil inclination. Although anger or rage, Yargiz, is usually a negative trait, but in this case, it may be necessary, the Alter Rebbe says, to arouse frustration and anger with the Yetzer Hara, as explained before, may be very necessary. And the reason is because that will deflate its haughtiness, its ego, and allow your soul to reemerge. V'hainu, and this means, when the Gemara says, la'olam, always, a person should always incite his Yetzer Tov against his Yetzer Hara, it means, b'chol eis shiroi b'nafshe shetzarech l'kach. It doesn't mean always, literally, every moment of the day. Rather, whenever, la'olam, whenever he finds it necessary for himself. Whenever you see in your soul that you need it. For example, when one sees that the arrogance of his animal soul does not allow the light of his divine soul to penetrate his heart, causing timtum alev, a plugged heart, then it's constructive to get frustrated with the ego, to experience grief as a result from the ego, to get angry with the Yetzer Hara. This deflates the bubble and so forth. So in those times that you need it, the Yargiz is absolutely fine. It's a meridus which is constructive, which is holy. It comes from Gevurah, it doesn't come from Chesed, but it's needed. This is a time when it's proper to act actually in an angry way in relation to the Yetzer Hara. You refuse to accept it, you call it names, like he said, you thunder at it, you rage against it, and you reduce it to what it truly is, nothing. Achshas HaKoshet, however, the appropriate time for this anger, which is the time which is opportune and fitting for most people. True, you should do it whenever you feel a need for it. But he says, generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, the time most appropriate for the ordinary man, is when one is in any case depressed over mundane matters. Or just when someone is depressed so without any discernible cause. Sometimes you can be sad because of certain issues in your life that have to do with miladalma, material issues, physical elements. Sometimes, you know, you get into a bad mood and you don't know the reason for it. Why are you in a bad mood? Azai. Obviously there's some cause, whether a deep psychological cause or a metaphysical cause and so forth. But in any case, there's no discernible cause. So the Alter Rebbe says, when you're in a bad mood anyway, whether you know the cause for you being in a bad mood, or you stumble ishum sibba without any reason in a bad mood, as a hishasa kosher, so he says, seize the opportunity. This is an opportune time. Lahapicha etzef, for redirecting the depression, liyis memara de chushbananal, to be among the masters of accounts mentioned above, in other words, to engage in soul searching and spiritual stock taking, or lekayim maimer azal, to use that opportunity to fulfill the teaching of our sages mentioned above, la'olam yargiz v'chuli kanal, that one should always incite, etc., as mentioned above, his yetzer tov against his yetzer hara. So then, if you're anyway in a bad mood, you're anyway in a depressed mode, Alter Rebbe says, for whatever reason, redirect it. Redirect it from something which is useless. You're being worried about nothing, and being in a bad mood is useless. Redirect it to something which is valuable. So cherish this moment. Put it to good use. Get perturbed. Get depressed. Get frustrated. Get angry with your ego. Ubazan, Alter Rebbe adds, and through this, yipater me'atzvus shem miladalma. He will also rid himself of the depression brought on through mundane matters. His redirection, his depression from material issues into soul searching and into anger towards his evil inclination will dispel the mundane depression because it's transferred to another sadness. It's lost and swallowed within the spiritual sadness and frustration. And now the Alter Rebbe continues. Don't stop here. V'achekach, now following this, yavoy l'dei simcha amitis. The person will arrive to true joy. How do you go over from one extreme to another extreme? You were just depressed and then frustrated, atzfus, and then meridus. Then he said, and then you'll come to a true joy. So the Alter Rebbe will explain. What is the summation of what he said till now? A person experiences timtum halev, emotional apathy, carelessness, smugness. You're unexcited, your heart is uninspired. You could learn, you can hear beautiful stories, you can listen to exquisite melodies, you can meditate, you can daven, you can contemplate, and so forth. Your heart is unresponsive. Just black, nothing can get to it. That's the condition. The Alter Rebbe said, to deal with it, you have to shatter the blockage, the wall that's covering up on your heart. It's not allowing anything to get to it. So you have to shatter your ego. Scream at it. Refuse to accept it. Don't embrace it. Don't grant it validity. This, if it's done truly, causes a sense of grief, of sorrow, of pain. Zogt Alter Rebbe, it's constructive because it's soul-oriented, it's active, it's alive. He says, now, so the Alter Rebbe says, now the Jew can attain true inner happiness and joy. The Hainu, this means Shazois Yashiv Elibui. This is what he should communicate to his heart, L'nachamai B'kiflayim, in order to comfort her in a double measure. Acharadvarim V'emesei L'anal. Following the above words of truth, which he communicated to his heart concerning its lowly spiritual nature. So, Leimer Lilibay, following those true words, let him presently, after those sharp words, say to his heart the following. Emesukein b'li safik. Indeed, it is true without a doubt. Shani rachayk ma'ayd me'ashem b'tachlis, that I am far removed, utterly remote from Hashem. U'meshukutz u'metu of chuli. And I'm despicable, contemptible, and so on. True. As Alter Rebbe elaborated at length in chapter 29 and 30, the various meditations and modes of contemplation through which a person reaches this awareness. Ach kolze, but he continues to tell him, say to himself, ach kolze, but all this, who ani levadi, is true only of me. Which means, who hagufim nefesh achiyunis shaboy, what part of me, the revealed consciousness, that is my body, and the animating soul within it. The animal soul that animates my body, the essence of physical life. Avol mikol mokoyim, but nevertheless, yesh biki bichelek Hashem mamish, within me there is a veritable part of Hashem, mamish, a part of Hashem. Shayesh nayafilu kal shabakalim, which exists, it's present even in the most worthless of my fellows. So even if I'm not better than he, like he said in chapter 30, I still have this part of Hashem within me. Shehi nefesh alikis, namely the divine soul, imnitzutz alikus mamish, and the spark of godliness itself, hamalubish balach yosa, which is clothed in the divine soul to animate it. Rak, it's just shehi bebchinis galus. It's just that when the body and the animating soul are in such a vulgar state, the divine soul is in exile within them. Because her identity cannot be expressed then. Similar to a person is in exile, You can't express yourself freely. You have to live and behave not based on how you want and you desire, rather based on how your master, who imprisoned you, desires. So when this divine soul, which is Chelek Hashem Mamish, which means, as discussed in the earlier chapters, the divine soul in every Jew is a projection of Hashem's intimate self. When it finds itself in a body and in an animal soul that are so vulgar and despicable, the divine soul is an exile. It's an exile, which means it can't express itself, it can't maximize itself, it can't find its liberation and freedom. Right. So the Im Kain, if this is the case, he sells himself. Adirah, but then on the contrary, the further I am removed from Hashem, and the more despicable and contemptible I am, the deeper in exile is my divine soul, and all the more is it to be pitied. The more abominable the physicality and the animalistic elements within me, the deeper the soul is in exile, and the more we should have compassion for it. Therefore, asim kol magmasi v'cheftzi, I will make it my entire aim and desire to extricate it from this exile and to elevate it from this gallows. To return her to her father's house as in her youth, as she was before being clothed in my body, when she was completely absorbed in Hashem's intimate energy, and united with him absolutely. So now too, she will be absorbed and united with him once again, just like before she came down. When I will concentrate all my aspirations on the Torah and the mitzvahs, in an effort to clothe therein all of the soul's 10 faculties, as explained above in chapter 4, how all the soul's 10 faculties find expression in the performance of mitzvahs and the learning of Torah, or befrad b'mitzvahs tefillah, especially during fulfilling the mitzvah of davening. Especially then will I attempt to liberate my soul, litzoy kel Hashem b'tzar lo migalusa b'gufay ha-meshukatz, by crying out to Hashem because of the distress of its exile, of the soul's exile, in my despicable body, laitziya mimazger, to release it from captivity, uladafka b'yizbarech, and bind it to Hashem. Zogda al terebe, v'zuhi p'chines tshuva maisim toivim. This experience is referred to generally as tshuva ma'isim tovim, which means tshuva with good deeds. It's a very common expression in Chazal, tshuva ma'isim tovim. So the question is asked, the juxtaposition of tshuva ma'isim tovim seems somewhat enigmatic. It's two totally separate issues. Tshuva is repentance for past sins. Ma'isim tovim is good deeds. But nevertheless, they always go together. Tshuva and good deeds. And tshuva is even before ma'isim tovim, which apparently, a person does good deeds. If you don't do good deeds, then you do tshuva. So the Alter Rebbe explains the deeper meaning in this expression is, shein ma'isim tovim sha'isa. This denotes the good deeds which one does, kedei lahashiv chelek Hashem, in order to return the soul which is part of Hashem, l'mekayit avishar shadachal almin, to the source and root of all the worlds. So tshuva, in order to return the soul to her source, we do ma'isim tovim with the intention of returning the soul to its true essence. V'zayis tia avidasei kol yamav. This, then, should be one's lifelong work. B'simcha rabba, with great joy. He simchas ha-nefesh b'tzeisa me'aguf ha-matuf. The joy of the soul upon leaving the despicable body, v'shav al beis aviyah kinora, and returning to her father's house as in her youth, b'shas ha-teira v'avoida, during one's Torah study and service of Hashem. U'kamayim v'nazal, as our sages said in Masechta Shabbos, daf kuf nun gimel, Liyos kol yom of b'tshuva, that one ought to engage in shuva throughout his entire life. And Alter Rebbe says, what is the great joy? Because of ein l'cha simcha g'dayla. There is no awesome joy, k'tseis me'hagolos v'ashivya, as great as the joy of being released from exile and captivity. Marshal ben Melech, it is comparable to the joy of a prince. Shahaya b'shivya, who was taken captive. V'toichin b'beis ha'sud, and he was subjected to the hard labor of turning the millstone in prison. Omenuvel ba'ashba, furthermore, he was covered with filth, this prince. And then, v'yotzol l'chav shiel beis aviv ha'melech, and then he goes free to the house of his father, the king. So where is the quill that can describe this joy in words? Where are you going to find the terminology that can articulate the happiness of this moment? The prince, the son of the king, who grew up in the most royal and aristocratic ambiance with his father, and then for some reason he was thrown into a dungeon, he was taken into captivity, and not just into captivity, working hard labor like the lowest of the low, as he said, subjected to the hardest labor of turning the millstone in prison, which was always teichin bebeis ha'asurim, which was always the symbol of a prisoner subjected to the most difficult of labor. And not only that, he's menuvel ba'ashbi, he's covered with filth. And then comes the day he's let free, and he goes back to his father, the king. He goes back to his father, to his mother, to the king and to the queen. Who can describe the preciousness of the moment, the depth of the joy, the extraordinary simcha and happiness? So the Alter Rebbe says, this precisely is the story of every single Jew. Such a prince is the soul of every single Jew. The soul grows up, so to speak, in the harmonious and royal abode of its father, the King of Kings. The soul, how did he put it? The soul is nichleles, it was nichleles ba'eira yizbarach. It was part and parcel of Hashem's intimate identity. That's what a soul is. A soul originates in Hashem's intimate self, so to speak. And was totally absorbed with Him. That was the soul. And then the soul was made a major descent to the lowest of places, into a physical body, into a physical world, where it encounters a whole new reality and is totally in exile and totally alienated. And it labors very difficultly in ways that wouldn't want to labor. And furthermore, it's covered with filth, with ashpa. So the Alter Rebbe said, now you have the opportunity to liberate the soul from its shackles and allow it to return to its father. What a joy! So on the contrary, the more despicable you find certain elements of your psyche, the greater the pity, the greater the exile of the soul, the greater the imprisonment, the greater the captivity, the deeper the exile. The deeper the exile, the deeper the rachmanis on the soul. If the deeper the rachmanis on the soul, so this should stimulate you even more to redeem it. So therefore, when you indeed begin the process of redeeming it, how? Through a life of Torah and mitzvahs, the joy that this introduces into a person's life is an awesome, unbelievable joy. Dafka, precisely because the great remoteness, precisely because the awesome frustration, it was so deeply in captivity and then it was released. You can't compare the joy of a simple prisoner being liberated to a prisoner who's covered with filth and was subjected to the lowest of situations, and then it's released. It's a much greater joy. So here we see, well, this will conclude how the Alter Rebbe developed here the evolution, the emotional evolution, beginning from Timtum Alev and finalizing with the feeling of Simcha. Who is the Alter Rebbe addressing? The Alter Rebbe is addressing us, everyone, human beings, ordinary human beings. Even the highest level whom the Alter Rebbe is addressing is the Beinoni. And the Beinoni has an Nefesh HaBahamas, an animal soul, that may desire sin, even though the Beinoni never sins. And the Alter Rebbe says, the Beinoni could come to realize through a little bit of meditation that his animal soul is despicable. Why is it despicable? If nothing else, even if it never sins, just the very fact that it craves sin, that itself is despicable. Because think about it for a moment. The very fact that my soul can find tasteful and delicious that which Hashem finds abominable. Even if I don't implement the craving, even if I don't succumb to it, even if I don't fall prey to it, the very fact that certain elements, certain type of behavior, I find appealing, I find pleasant, I find satisfying, and therefore I crave it, shows how the Alter Rebbe put it, how dysfunctional my soul is. It has a dysfunctional relationship with reality, because reality, according to Tanya, is a substitute word for the unity of Hashem. Your reality is the intimate presence of Hashem. And he says, in that I'm inferior to an animal. An animal never finds that which Hashem finds abhorrent, never finds that appealing, but a person does. Just want to say, you know, we're sometimes so remote from our soul that we're very insensitive. The first prerequisite to get in touch with any of this is to be sensitive. If one is in a state of atzus, of insensitivity, we can't be taken by this. We have to be sensitive and open to reality. The Alter Rebbe says, from the true perspective, when you contemplate the true nature of life, of energy, of reality, even the Beinoni who never sins, could come to find his animal soul abhorrent and more inferior to animals. The very fact that it entertains such a type of thought. So this type of chassid, even the Beinoni, certainly people who are lower than the Beinoni, came to the Alter Rebbe and asked the Alter Rebbe, you speak so vividly and lucidly about a chelik alikamim al mamash, about a divine soul, about the divinity and the spirituality that is at the core of man. We don't feel it. On the contrary, our revealed identity and consciousness is totally alienated from this soul. Because by the Beinoni, what is the consciousness we feel? We don't feel the divine consciousness as the primary essence of our life. We function and operate on our animalistic consciousness, on our physical essence, not on our transcendental essence. Sometimes that emerges. Sometimes that illuminates us. Sometimes we merit to hear its melodies. But on a day-to-day level, our consciousness operates on an animalistic level, on a zoological level. This is even if one doesn't sin. Certainly, if someone, not only it's appealing, he becomes part of that reality, dysfunctional reality. And Alter Rebbe told them in these chapters, you have to think about this abhorrence, because you have to shatter the complacency of your ego. Who does the ego think it is? Where does it get the chutzpah to inflate itself to such proportions? So Alter Rebbe says, you have to meditate on this. And then you come to us and you talk about the soul and spirituality and Hashem and joy. So here in these words, the Alter Rebbe takes this very lamentation of his chassid and he turns it around. And what does he say? On the contrary, precisely because of what you're saying about this abhorrence, you should be more joyous than anyone else. Why? Because since you are a Jew, you have in yourself a chelek alekamim mamash. You have in yourself a transcendental, noble, royal, godly soul. Since indeed you describe the dysfunctionality and the absurdness and the grossness and the vulgarity of your animal soul, it means that the pity on the divine soul is even greater because it finds itself in such a life. So therefore, that should not only not weaken you, it should stimulate you to liberate it, to give the soul back its voice, to allow the soul to express itself. And when you do that, and how do you do that? By involving it in the life of Torah and mitzvah, through which the soul finds expression, it reconnects with its source, as Dr. Rebbe discussed in earlier chapters in Tanya, how Torah and mitzvah restores the soul to itself. So then the joy is so much deeper and so much greater. So every time you do a mitzvah, he tells the Jew, every time you daven, every time you say no to your animal soul and yes to your divine soul, every time you learn, you're taking a precious soul that found itself in a dungeon, found itself in a dark, gloomy place covered with filth, and you're taking it out from the cell, you're liberating it, you're freeing it from the shackles, and you're allowing it to go back to its father's home just as in her youth. Conclude with a little short story. Especially due to the fact that this Sunday is Yitzhak Kislev. The 19th day of Kislev is the day everybody knows that Alter Rebbe was liberated from his very severe imprisonment in St. Petersburg, in the capital of Russia, as a result of accusations that him and the Hasidic movement are trying to undermine and to destroy the entire Russian government. It was a very severe negative accusation brought against him. He spent 53 days in a fortress in St. Petersburg, and then was liberated on Yutis Kislev, which was since then established in Chabad and in the Jewish world in general as a day of festivity. The Holy Reb Nachman of Breslov, on his way back from Eretz Yisrael, after his visit to the Holy Land, on his way back to Uman in the Ukraine, he stopped off in Liadi to visit the Alter Rebbe. Reb Nachman and the Alter Rebbe were close friends, although Reb Nachman did have great opposition from various Hasidic masters living at the time, but the Alter Rebbe was very close with Reb Nachman. When Reb Nachman came home to Oman, so his chassidim, the rest of the chassidim said, Rebbe, what are your impressions of the Alter Rebbe, as they called him, from the Lyazhna Magid, the Magid of Lyazhna, because Alter Rebbe lived for a long time in Lyazhna. So Reb Nachman said, there's a chad bedara. He's one in a generation. He's singular in a generation. So they asked Reb Nachman, what made you say this? What gave you this feeling, this sense? He says, I'll tell you. I went to him and I spent with him Shabbos. Now, everyone knows that Alter Rebbe asked him a whole Shabbos to say Teda, but he refused to say Teda. Alter Rebbe wanted to hear some of his Teda. He refused to say Teda. That he didn't say. That comes from the Chabad. The story that I'm saying now comes from Breslov sources, because Reb Nachman told the Chassidim. The fact that Reb Nachman didn't say Teda comes from Chabad sources. But Reb Nachman asked Alter Rebbe, you say Teda. Alter Rebbe didn't want to say Teda. He wanted Reb Nachman to say. The debate continued till Alter Rebbe agreed. And Alter Rebbe said Teda for 4 hours. He said a discourse for 4 hours. So the Chassidim asked Reb Nachman, so I guess it was the Teda that he said that demonstrated to you that he was a chad, but that he said, no, dafka not. But the end of the maimer, the last words, what did he say? He said he concluded the maimer with these words. The pasuk in Tillim, Rachamecha Rabim Hashem, literally means, it means Rachamecha, your rachmanis, your compassion, your empathy is great, God. Rachamecha Rabim Hashem. He said, Al Tereb B'Taisht in the Maimon Hazeh, Rachamecha Rabim Hashem, Ah, Avdir God is Agresa Rachmanis. On you, God, I have a lot of pity. But this is also one of the themes he brings out here. Rachamecha Rabim Hashem, on the contrary, I'm so lowly, so there's such rachmanis on the God in me, on the godliness in me, which is chelek Hashem mamash. So therefore, that should motivate me to release it, to help it, to salvage it. It's a rachmanis on it. It's a very special soul in us. And it can't find expression. It's enslaved. It's subjected to something that's totally antithetical to it. So it should motivate me to release it. All my aspirations should be to get in touch with this soul, which is my true identity and is the truth of the cosmos in general. And then when I can do that, and every person has the method to do that, then the simcha will be overwhelming because of the sense of lowliness. The simcha will be so overwhelming. Have a good night and a wonderful week. Why not? You heard of my Samuel? I saw it in the kuntus you gave me then. You remember you gave me the stories? That's where I saw it. Whatever. Why did he like it? Because this is a blessed for him, a halach.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.